This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome back to the Mr. D Math and More podcast series. This week, we're going to be talking about grading papers. And if you read the title of this podcast, it says grading papers is like taking out the trash. Now, why would I say that? Well, think of it like this. It has to be done, and no one wants to do it. So grading papers really is like taking out the trash. It does need to be done. And whoever wants to sit around and grade papers all day long? Let's get into a conversation about grading papers and see if we can come up with a way that makes it work for you, makes it work for your young people at home, and has everybody win. That's the game we're out to play in this podcast. By the way, thanks for organizing your time to listen to this podcast, and you can now subscribe to the Mr. D Math and More podcast series on iTunes. So let's check it out. Let's look at grading papers. First of all, we say grading papers. Well, are we really giving something a grade? Most people, when you say we're going to grade your paper, it causes stress for people. So we're looking at how do you grade a student's work? How about how do you correct a student's work? Well, even then, if we're correcting someone's work, we're assuming that something's not correct, so we can correct it. There isn't really any way we can say this that's going to create happiness and joy for anyone. The person doing the grading, the person receiving the grade. You think about when you're grading your young person's work, or say you're correcting their work, or you're scoring their work, or however you want to say it. Have you ever had the thought when it's not going well for the student that there's a couple of things? First of all, you think, oh my goodness, they weren't prepared for whatever it was that you just graded. Or you may say to yourself, oh, I did a terrible job teaching that section, or they would have done better. Or maybe you say, the curriculum is just wrong. So no matter what, whenever you're grading something, if it's not going well, there's always a problem. It's always someone's fault. Is it the student's fault? Is it your fault? Is it the curriculum's fault? Is it the system's fault? And you always are left questioning what's happening. So let's see if we can turn this into a win. By the way, have you ever noticed when you're grading something and you're waiting for it to be returned, a young person, they're waiting for it to be returned. Well, they're being judged. They're being judged on their best effort. Now, no one really likes to be judged unless they know they are in at 100%. Then they're like, have at it, no problem, I'm not worried, I got this thing nailed. It's the way most young people are about it. Matter of fact, most adults are the same way. And think about the idea of grading in the first place. What have we done? And think about how you grew up. There was the A, B, C, D, and F. You have 90%, well, you did excellent. You don't have to get 100%, 90%, that's great. You did excellent. If you had a B between 80% and 90%, well, that was above average. A C between 70% and 80%, well, that was average, you're okay. Not great, not bad, it's average. If you had between 60% and 70%, well, that's a D, that's below average. And if you get below 60%, well, you failed and you probably need to do it again. 60%, even though it's below average, is passing. And you may say, oh, that's just not good enough at all. They need to be much higher. Well, take a look around. A driving test, 70% is good enough to drive a car in the United States. By the way, in other countries, you have to score higher. You have to score 90% if you're in Spain on the written part of the driving test. But 70% is good enough? How about in colleges or even some high school programs where they say, well, let's just do pass-fail. You pass, you fail. And usually, where's the bar? Around 70%. You can get 7 right, 3 wrong, not a problem. Is that really what we want our young people to know? Is that the minimal acceptable is okay? And you think back now, and you hand back a paper, and you put a percentage on it. Or you hand back the paper, and they saw 22 problems, and they got 7 wrong. You didn't even want to put a percentage on it, because you're thinking, oh, I don't even want them to know what percent they got. So what do? We have to still assign grades, A, B, C, D, F. Who wants them? The colleges want them. They want to know, what's your grade point average? You know, it's kind of funny. When I was in college, and even through high school, I always strived for a B. And everybody said, are you're crazy, right? A B, why don't you get an A? Well, because a B was what? It was above average. Well, I was great with that. My mom was so mad at me. Why was she mad? She says, because I know that you can get an A if you just applied yourself more. She was right. I could. However, when I was in high school, I had a job. I played in a band. I wanted to go out and have fun with my friends. I was busy. So a B was above average. I could fit that in. High school, a job, having friends, playing in the band. That was awesome. Oh, by the way, I played baseball too. Yeah, I was a busy guy. I got into theater when I was in college. I was a busy guy. I still worked all the time while I was in college, plus went to college full time. Above average was pretty good, given that I was a pretty busy fella back in the day. I'm still fairly busy now. That hasn't changed. But I look at it and I think, is above average good enough? Or do I want to strive for excellence? Well, graduate school got to me. In graduate school, I decided it was time to strive for excellence. Besides, they only gave three grades, A, B, and C, so I thought, well, let's get the A now. Had to work harder, but it got done. So you think about that. Our whole system's been based on this A, B, C, D, F. Pass, fail. 70%, is it really good enough? Think back to when you maybe took a test, back when you were in school, maybe middle school or high school, even elementary school, college, and you got the test back. And I've watched young people do this over and over again. You hand them back their test, they look at the grade, and they say, oh, I got a B, oh, I got an A, oh, that's good enough, and they put the paper away. They don't look at the ones they got wrong, they don't do any of that. Once in a while, and you may be saying, but my young person does. Once in a while, they do, if they're really interested. But if they're just surviving it, just trying to get through it, they're happy with that 80, 85, 90%. They're happy with that A or B. They're content, minimal acceptable. Now, how did I actually discover onto this and observe this in young people? Well, I started teaching almost 30 years ago, and I worked in the public school system. And my first year teaching, I was out to be the best teacher you could be. So every Sunday, I would take all the students' papers that they would turn in, and they would do all of their homework, and they'd give it to me, and I'd have these stacks of paper. And on Sunday, I would sit in front of the TV, and I would watch football, and I would grade papers all day, 6 or 7 hours. So I missed football because I was busy grading papers, but I took the time to write out every single step that they did wrong. I wrote notes on their paper. I drew smiley faces when they got it right. I drew sad faces when they got it wrong. I gave them constructive feedback. I did everything there was to do, put the grade on it, came back on Monday, so proud of the work I did for these young people, handed them back their papers, and every one of them, one by one, would look at their paper, they would look at their grade, they would look at me either content or discontent based on the grade that they got, like it was my fault that they got that grade, and then they put the paper away. And they never looked at it. And they never read my comments. Now, I did this for 6 months, realizing that they were doing this time and time again. And I would ask them, why don't you go back and look at the ones you got wrong? Oh, I'm happy with what I got. An amazing thing happened. The second 6 months of that year, I stopped grading their work. I had them bring it up to me. I would look at it with them. I would ask them to go back and find out which ones they got wrong and give themselves a grade and come back and bring it to me when they were sure that everything was right. This amazing thing happened. Their grades went up and I wasn't grading their work anymore. Absolutely unbelievable. So I started to look at this and think to myself, well, what is it that's going on? My homeschoolers, my students that do my math programs, I have them grade as much of their own work as possible. Why? Because it's a teachable moment for them. Now, do they copy the answers? They do. But that's why moms are at home, to do what? Well, they're the accountability coach, to make sure they're doing things the way it was designed. But those teachable moments, students send me back messages all the time. And they say, oh, I see what I did wrong. Thanks for providing the solutions for me. They're learning on their own. My own son and daughter, who we homeschool, we have them check their own work. While they're checking their own work, at the end of the week, they actually do a PowerPoint presentation for us to tell us how they did during the week, what they learned about. Then we can have a conversation with them. What did you do well? What didn't go so well? Where did you find your mistakes? And week after week, they tell us over and over again. By the way, they're both getting really great at doing PowerPoint presentations, and they're only 9 and 11 years old. So now, let's take a look at what you can do at home. First of all, if you give the students back work, do you want them to correct their mistakes? And you think about that and you're like, well, of course. in the ideal world, of course we want them to correct their mistakes. We'll have them correct their mistakes. But if they correct their mistakes, do you give them credit for it? Well, why not? Now it's right. Have them get credit for it. You can decide how you want to do that. And students tell me all the time, but if I correct my own work and I got something wrong and I've corrected it and I've learned from my mistake, it's still wrong. And I think to myself, that's so crazy. Where did they learn that? Well, they learned it from years and years of conditioning of what we think is pass-fail. Just think, if a young person goes and they correct their work, they figure out what they did wrong, and now they can do it correctly, and we don't give them credit for it, how much motivation is that for them to go back and correct their work? None at all. But what if they can correct their work? What if they can go back? What if they can get it corrected and find out their mistake and have it be for themselves a teachable moment? Well, in that time, now they're getting credit for it. Give them credit for it. They did the work. They did more work. They went over and beyond. They're striving for excellence. So now your young person has graded their work. They've corrected their mistakes. They've got them correct, the ones that they needed to get correct. And if there's any they can't do, you can work with them on it. So they're getting 100%. They have the grades they want. You know you got your job done. They got their job done. Everybody wins. And then you say, I'm just not ready to let them be that independent. Maybe they're too young. Maybe you need to keep a watchful eye over them. Not a problem. What do? Check it together. Have a conversation. Ask them, why did you get this answer? How did you get this answer? What works about this? What doesn't work about it? What could you have done differently? And let them tell you. Let them explore. Go back into the curriculum and look for the examples that actually show where the correct answers are. Have it become part of your education plan. Too often, moms are doing the work of grading the papers, handing it back to their children, and then the young people look at it and they say, okay, fine, and they put it away, and we're right back to where we started. 70% is good enough. I don't know about you, but for me, 70% is not good enough. Let's be amazing. Work together. Have it be part of your day, checking the work together. You'll find out so much more about what they're learning, what they're not learning. It will make you a better homeschooling mom. It will make them better students. Everybody wins. I hope you found this to be informative, to give you some insight into what it looks like to actually have students be successful on their coursework. That's what we're out to have, successful, independent, self-directed learners. We want people to be happy in the world, and the best way to have them be happy is to know that they can do anything that they want to do. All right, well, this is Mr. D. Thanks so much for joining me. If you have questions about this podcast or any podcast at all, feel free to reach out to me, dennis@mrdmath.com, dennis@mrdmath.com. Until next time, see you then. This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.